We'll go ahead and call the Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. Everybody get the roll sheet there. Very good, very good. Okay, first up, let's hear from our treasurer, Mr. Sampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you'll turn with me, a summary of statements for quorum court, January 1st, 2025 to September 30th, 2025. County General Fund, $1,004,092,074.80. County Road Fund, $2,008,957,222.24. County Road Sales Tax Fund, $3,402,435,377.25. Animal Welfare and Control Fund, $3,404,1,492,635.83. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund, Fund 3407, $2,129,330.46. Coronavirus Relief Fund, 1005, $997,573.97. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $2,277,062.18. ARP Revenue Replacement Fund 1006, $5,700,149.09. Turn with me to page two. This is the county revenue that we've talked about every month, but the one point I want to make on this, as you can see, this year is much higher than last year. We talked about getting the payment. We've talked about this to nauseam. That had us up about $1.2 million over last year. Right now we're up $1.4 million over last year, so we're seeing also a little bit of increase other than that one-time payment. Keeping an eye on that. Of course, next month is going to be our real teller. You know, the next 3 months, this is, as y'all can see, how we've just kind of leveled off here. But the next 3 months will give us a real jolt, and we're going to see how, depending on tax collections, and by looking in the line today, tax collections are going to be just fine. So I expect good things from that number. If you'll turn me to page three, sales tax from September was $1,288,924.73. That's up 8.04% above this time last year. And that now just takes us down to 0.16% below where we were last year after the anomaly. We're up roughly, like I say, 24% over the last 4 months, averaging 6.5% a month since June. This is really unexpected. I don't anticipate us carrying this deal. I've called around. Nobody else is quite this high. So I'm anticipating we're probably going to break the $15 million mark in sales tax. And when you kind of look back over it, it was 2020 before we broke the $10 million move. So we're up roughly 50% on sales tax over about a five-year period, which is phenomenal. It really is. If you'll turn with me to page four, total sales tax collection for the year, $11,116,540.22. That's 78% projected. As you know, we're 75% of the way through the year. Projection is $14.3 million. We're going to touch that pretty quickly. I think we will not only beat the 14.7 of last year, but probably top 15 million. And the last page is sales tax numbers. This is the chart. 3 month moving average continues to be above the 1 year moving average. We are slowly but surely going to work our way past this this plateau or anomaly from 2024. And if you were to take that 1 year moving average and take that plateau out, we're trending in the same line in which we were trending before that happened. So, are there any questions about anything? If you look down on the bottom section of page one in spending. Nobody's really in trouble with any type of spending. Like I said, we're 75% through the year. Nobody spent over 75% of their budget at this point, so that's always good news. So, starting the budget season, working on projections for 26, and on the revenue side, everything looks good. We know expenditure side will probably increase from last year just due to the rising costs.
Just, I guess, more of a curiosity question. Do we know if the sales tax, is it being driven by the county or is it being driven more within Conway?
I don't have assessment numbers broken out by cities. I have it by county. I run it by county only. So we know that the assessment for the taxes that were being collected in 2025 or the 2024 assessments, that ad valorem tax was in a reappraisal year, and Chris, you'll have to forgive me here, 8.4 6%, I think, is what the increase in assessment is. Now, if you have collections to be at or above average collections, that's roughly, we roughly collect 80% current and then delinquent in other ways to get that last bit of it. If you have 80% collection on a 8.5%, you should see about a 7.5% increase. So ad valorem for the 2025 year that's going to be collected in 2026 is 7.56, I think is the number I'll come up with, and that's going to be bad close. So you're going to see another probably 6% increase in revenue in county general for 26. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I walked around it a long ways, but never really answered. The real quick answer is I do not have comparison numbers by cities, only by county as a whole.
Chairman, if I may. So speaking of budget season that we're about to enter, are we still looking at November as a date, a month to talk about the day budget meeting? Is that something you still feel good about, or do you know?
Yeah, I think Tyler had put on October 31st was the number that I had heard, but that please don't hold me to that. That's just what I've heard. Okay.
Yeah, we've got that day still set aside for all day. So Thursday night will obviously be the evening. And I think, Justin, you said you couldn't make that, and it's fine. But we'll talk about the grants and aid, interviewing them. We'll have contracts that we have with those and also their money, so you'll be able to ask them questions. And then we have the all-day budget that we're going to try to knock it out last year. That turned out to be pretty popular among the county and among the JPs themselves, and as opposed to dragging it out, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. So we're working in the judge's office and with the IT department to have all that data ready for you guys.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. All right. Next order of business, I'll entertain a motion for proposed ordinance 2528.
I'm going to make a motion that we discuss proposed ordinance 2528.
All right, this looks like our standard appropriation ordinance. Go ahead and give you a minute to look over that. Does anybody have any questions about any items on here? The construction in progress.
That we anticipate starting next month.
Any other questions about any more of the items on here on 2528? All right, hearing none, all in favor of advancing 2528 to full court indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. 2528 will advance to full court. Next, I'll entertain a motion to put proposed ordinance 2529 on the table for discussion.
I'd like to make a motion that we speak about proposed ordinance 2529.
All right. It's like this is our one-time pay increase of $400 for full-time employees and $200 for the part-time employees for November 21st, I believe. Yes, sir. Judge?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the Budget Committee. I wanted to address you both on this ordinance and then the next one. These both are dealing with salaries. And Margaret probably could handle this better than me, but I really wanted to talk about the philosophy of what we're doing here. One-time pay increase, you're very familiar with that. I'm in full support of continuing that. You can see the numbers if you've got the worksheet Margaret created. Do you have that in front of you? All right, and so this pretty much ends up being what folks count on as their, you know, sort of a Christmas bonus that you would get in private industry, but it really doesn't saddle the county with continuing accumulating salary overhead. So it's clear that this you intend to be one time only. What the guidance that I would get is if you ever, or excuse me, that I would give is if you ever decide not to do this, I would not wait until this time of the year to give that guidance to your employees, just to be fair to them, just being honest with you. So anyway, there, if you look, does anybody not have this worksheet? Yes, and the left side of it is the one-time pay increase, which is covered by this ordinance that's on the table. You'll see the total amount to be transferred at the bottom section. It's going to be $29,192, so that's what's going to have to be transferred. That's total of all the funds. You can see them right there in that last section. County General, $7,200. County General unapportioned is $10,003. Road, none. Library, $9,000. Criminal Justice, none. And then all other funds is $2,500. The total cost to the county is $163. You see that just above that section. So I'd be in full support of that. Be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions for Judge Dodson?
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Any other questions about this ordinance? Any other items at all? All right. Any JPs in the audience have anything they'd like to add, ask, or discuss about it? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of advancing proposed ordinance 2529 to full court, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 2529 will advance to full court. Okay, up next, we'll entertain a motion to put proposed ordinance 2530 on the table for discussion.
I'd like to make a motion that we discuss proposed ordinance 2530.
Okay, 2530. This is the 27th payroll. Looks like we would be able to save a little bit of money if we did that at the end of this year. Judge, if you want to speak further on that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there are a couple of things. I want to thank Margaret, our Secretary of the County Clerk, for putting together some bullet point items so I don't just sound stupid up here in front of you. By the way, thank her for coming. She's a little bit under the weather. She's feeling better now. If she talks a bunch, she'll probably start coughing. Don't let that scare you. All right, so we pay our employees every 2 weeks. That doesn't really line up with 365 and a quarter days a year, as you know, and so every 2 weeks, no matter what day of the week or where it falls in a month, that paycheck is paid. So every 14 days. And so you've got a rolling, changing day in which that's paid. So you got to pay the piper at some point. Turns out it happens every 11 years. And so we have discussed, I have discussed with our other elected officials, really probably pretty intensely in the last month or two, trying to figure out what would be the best approach to recommend to the court. There really are a couple of questions that you've got to ask and answer. One is, do we, instead of dividing the salary by 26 pay periods, 10 years out of the 11, and then not give them, 10 years out of the 11, and then not give them a 27th pay period, which I don't believe you would want to do to the employees, right? The other is to divide that salary by 27 pay periods and then reduce the check that they get. And the reality is for your employees, they set their personal finances and budget based on that as though it were a month. They wait on that check. That's when they schedule to go get their groceries and so forth. So you really got to do one of the two. Or make the 27th pay period fall at the end of the calendar year, paying for the full amount, but so you're paying them the same amount over a 12-month period. It's just that 27 of them fall in 1 year instead of in the next year. So it backs up. I think it backs up a day each year, right? And then you have leap year. So hopefully I didn't confuse you with that, but it seems like you guys are already familiar with a 27th pay period issue. And so what I would be opposed to, and I think all our elected officials would agree with me, is that let's don't cut our 2 week checks down to make that fit in the same amount for the number of pay periods, but let's pay them the full year and never stop rolling the 27, the every 2 weeks at that check amount. And so there's that option. And Margaret, let me know if I'm forgetting one. There's an option to pay on the last day of the year a portion of the pay period. Is that true? Does that make sense?
To save money.
Yeah. And so you would be paying it in this year rather than on January 1st, which is a totally different budget year. Does that make sense? It's one day difference. One day difference. And so you have got on the right side of that worksheet, you've got the calculation. It's a total of $848,576. And so what that does, the effect of that is pushing the next pay period on further. We're not asking you to change, salary, give everybody an extra pay period every year. It's not changing that budgeted amount for next year. But if you don't move it into the last day of this year, then you've got to put it in next year, for obvious reasons, inflation, adding new employees or whatever is going to make that 27th pay period go up by that amount, because you'll be doing it at the end of, a year later. Year worth of inflation and however many positions have been added, any raises for left behinds and so forth. On top of that, probably because I'm hopeful you'll agree with that and the full court will agree with that. But I think what the important thing for us to do is to not let a quorum court in 11 years be having to deal with the same issue. What I'd recommend to be smart with our money is for you guys to set aside 1/11th of the salary each year and a set aside to accumulate over those 10 or 11 years. And so you would have that available at that time when the calendar doesn't line up and you got a pay period rollover that makes it 27 of them within 365 and a quarter days with that fixed calendar year. It would also give you an emergency fund of sorts that, if you just absolutely had to have it, found yourself in a position like the court did several years ago when mineral taxes, I think, went down, caused a cash flow problem. You would at least have that supplement whatever other ways you're going to address it with. But I think that would be wise rather than just saying, hey, let's don't go change our accounting system. Let's don't reduce pay periods every 11 years or their every 2 week take home amount every 11 years to make that fit, and then dealing with the partial check or whatever after that. I think it's wise to start setting this aside. That's what we would do with our own family finances. So anyway, I'm happy to take any questions. I really wanted to speak on it philosophically more than just the details. Margaret can answer any hard details about it, or probably Scott. So happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for the explanation there. Appreciate you a lot.
Thank you.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Judge. Putting back the 1/11th of the payroll each year to cover the 27th part, is that something that we have to have an ordinance for? Because I don't see any of that in this ordinance.
It would just be
separate.
We just need it in your next year's budget.
Okay, so 2026 budget, it would start.
Mm-hmm. And Margaret and Scott would work the line item magic that they do to, and then you'd have to remember that the following year, that you're not just reappropriating that same 1/11th you did the previous year. You'd need to accumulate that by not appropriating it, not reaching into that bucket.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
This was based off the positions that are filled as of the last payroll.
So it sounds like, I'm no payroll expert, but it sounds like to me keeping this consistent paydays helps the payroll system, it sounds like to me. So you're just making a wise decision. So I think it's pretty awesome that you guys are thinking like this, and this is one of the reasons that our county government, in my approximation, is running pretty smooth. So I appreciate you made me understand that. So I think you did pretty well in explaining that.
Thank you. You know, I'm just stating the obvious here, but you can just look around. You know, really, we just got to do everything we can to keep our employees. And this is a small thing. It's a lot of money. I mean, you're talking about a lot of money, but we pay a lot of money in salaries. It's a big operation. So the grand scheme of things, I think the cost of not doing this is greater than the cost of doing it.
Absolutely. Hard to justify reducing biweekly cash flow. Yeah. So, does anybody else have any other questions? Any JPs in the audience? Yes, sir. Justice Allison.
Is there any consideration of moving to 1st and 15th twice a week or twice a month payroll? So instead of dividing the total salary by 26, you divide by 24, twice a week. It would increase the two twice a month checks, but it would keep the salaries the same. I worry about some of what you said there, because the money that you set aside this year is going to be dealing with inflation for the next 11 years. So we won't actually be setting aside the payroll and all the pay raises and everything else. So I'm afraid that we won't have the money in 11 years and we'll have to dip into the county.
Well, good points. And I can't really speak to the nuts and bolts of moving to a 1st and 15th. And
it wouldn't have to be those 2 days, but twice a month.
Sure. I can tell you from the outside, seeing what they do with payroll is magic every 2 weeks. I know that. And changing that is going to be a little bit painful. I can tell you that from at least my chair. The other is, there's going to be a cumulative 1 year lag. But if you'll recall, I mean, if we're going to be married to COLA each year, like you've seen me personally push for, then we've seen you guys adopt that approach, which I greatly appreciate. And I think later quorum courts should make Christmas cards every year for you not dumping a bunch of problems on them. But we will be adjusting salary by that COLA each year, which should be tied to CPI or the best thing we can come up with to match inflation. And so there would be a rolling 1 year lag, but at the end of the day, you're talking about, well, you're the math professor, but you'd be talking about small percentages each year that would not add up to a significant, I wouldn't think would add up to a significant amount.
Having a biweekly was actually recommended by the auditors when we switched to this. And it was a painful thing to switch to because we had to move the payroll up every twice a month until we got to a period where we didn't. First and the 15th, you don't have, we don't hold back money. Yeah. So we don't pay in advance. So we do this, we can end the payroll on a Friday and then we can pay out by Thursday the next week without holding money. Anybody's money.
There'll be a time coming, maybe, and we'd have to look at the calendar, but where the pay period, this under the current system, ends on the 1st or the 15th of the month, and we could give the employees warning that eventually they're going to come to, where their annual pay will be divided in 24 installments instead of 26. We'll make that next check daily, but it would give them time to plan for that.
Well, that was one of the reasons we didn't like it, because of the payroll in the first of the next year comes up short, and people don't ever plan because it's ending at Christmas and they spend it, and then they get a short check and the first check in January, and they generally don't like it because we pay out the payroll at the end of the year.
If I can interject real quick, Justice Allison, there's one other issue, and that is law enforcement. So we have a Fair Labor Standards issue with law enforcement, to where our law enforcement staff have a different. They have to choose their work week. It's not a normal 40-hour work week. So because of law enforcement, that's the biggest reason we've got payroll the way it is. If we were a private business and we didn't have to worry about some of the Fair Labor Standards Act overtime issues, then we could go to a 24 payment system. But because of the law enforcement, we have specific provisions there in regards to the work week, and that's in regards to overtime that we have to deal with, and that's what complicates it.
Setting aside funds for the future for this. And the risk, as you pointed out, was that we would not have enough in the future to cover whatever the future salary is. But I would assume that the funds would be managed by our treasurer in such a way that they would be accruing interest that would hopefully keep pace, if not even more, with what our COLA increases would be over that period of time.
They would be invested just like everything else in pro rata form. There's no guarantee it would be the exact dollar amount. It sure gets you a lot closer, though. You know what I mean? Instead of being, what are we looking at, $750,000 that we need to come up with? There's no exact way to do this. But if we could put together some sort of planning ahead to have that money set aside, so when it does come down the line, we're in a great spot right now. You know what? You know, revenues are great. We're not, you know, of course, doing a good job holding their spending. We're in a great spot. There's no, in a decade, there's no guarantee of that. So just like anything else, planning for your kids' college or anything else, if we put a little bit back right now, it'll sure save some headache. Y'all were all here. Nah, I don't know if all y'all were in 15, 16, and when times were tough, and it was a lot of gnashing of teeth, and there wasn't a whole lot of setback. Revenue was not reverting, but it was staying pretty steady. Our expenses were increasing quickly. We would like to keep from doing that again, if possible, or make it a little bit easier if we do. So, once again, depending on what interest rates do, depending how much is put back, I think we can be pretty close. You know, what if we get 90% and we're less than $100,000 off? It's a whole lot better than 800. What I'm looking at here, 848. I don't have my eyes on. And I'm not trying to push anybody anyway, but this is a kind of looking forward type of issue.
Yeah. I would like to see, in consideration of time, value, money, and everything, a little more than 11 to anticipate and plan for the increase due to inflation and the COLAs and all that.
You're saying what, instead of 1/11, you'd like to see 1/10?
A little more.
Something like that.
1/11. Yeah. So that we would be, stay ahead of the game, so we don't stick somebody in 11 years in a tight budget year and we didn't account for that growth.
Yeah. You're not against it. You just want to see more footback.
Exactly. I got you. I want to be safe.
I'm sorry for insinuating that you didn't want to put it back, because I sure didn't mean that.
And then I just had a clarification question about this 1/11 issue. It seems to me like it's 1/11 of a two-week payroll cycle, which would be 1/26 of the annual. So it would be 1/286 of the annual salary. Is that correct?
I didn't put these numbers together, so you're asking somebody.
Not 1/11 of the annual salary,
no.
Because that seems to be way overshooting it.
Well, once again, I didn't put these two numbers together, and I'm not going to speak on them without really looking into them. I don't know. We lose 365 days in a year, and what's in a two-week? I think we lose one day a year. Is that correct? We don't pay for one day a year per budget.
Yeah.
This cash flow is going to be the same. People are still making the same hourly. This is not a bonus. They're still getting, they're working their 2 weeks and they're getting paid for their 2 weeks. It just happens to fall in one of those budgets. That extra day falls in one of those budgets, and this is the budget it's fixing to fall in. And we've got it in this budget. When it comes for cash flow and this, that, and the other, it's, you're never going to see a difference.
Yes. And it would be for this time. The proposal is for $848,000, because that's what, you know, a payroll cycle is here. And as we add, you know, the following year, you'd need to continue to set aside 1/11 or whatever the calculation is, 1/11 indexed by CPI or something.
Of a two-week payroll cycle.
Yes, $848,000 this year. Next year it'll be $900,000 or whatever.
So $848,000 is a two-week payroll cycle.
Yes.
So it is 1/11.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of one pay period, which is 2 week cycle. And then in 11 years, you'd have that cycle saved up.
Yeah.
Give or take 5%, which, as Treasurer said, I mean, if you're 90, actually, I think Randy tugged at my ear a minute ago and said, you know, if you're 95% there, it's a whole lot better than here we are, you know, fortunately in a position when we can afford to do that, should you choose to do that. But you've seen other times when that was not so easy. But if you get it there, you know, maybe you get there with 110%, and that's fine. You've set aside an extra 10,000 or something, but or 100,000, I guess. But
if we have the money, I'm sure that we can plan for 110%.
Yeah.
Right. I look forward to looking at that further in our budget meeting on the 31st.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything further before we vote on 2530? Okay, all in favor of advancing 2530 to the full court, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Judge. Okay, 2530 advances to the full court. Motion to adjourn.
Salute.